have arrived at the end of the book of Revelation. We are in Revelations chapter 22. We're going to be closing up with verses 16 to 21. And the title of the message this morning is Piercing Through the Darkness, an End Times Reality. So as we finish the book of Revelation today, it's almost like ending an incredible Star Wars movie with the battle between good and evil. But this is so much more than just a great movie. This was a vision that God gave John to show him the final battle between good and evil. It's actually, today is the end of history as we know it. It's extremely important. So the question we want to ask this morning is, why is this end times vision so important to us? The first thing that we're going to do to answer that is we're going to find out what the credentials of the director are to this final movie or vision that God gave John. Now, we all know that when we see a movie that is directed by George Lucas, it's going to be creative. It's going to be out of the box. Do you remember the first Star Wars? Most of us that have been around for a while do. The big talk around town was the bar scene. When they walked into that bar, there was more weirded out kind of space animals than you've ever seen in your life. The creativity of George Lucas was over the top. So as we get into verse 16, we are actually going to begin by getting a word from the director himself of Revelation. Verse 16 says, I, Jesus, he's the director of Revelation. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you the things for the churches. Did you know this is the only place in the Bible where it says, I, Jesus, appear? We know that Jesus himself directed this vision of end times for John. And we know that every good director plans his movies to reach the common everyday people of America, right? They want to make you feel like you are really in the movie. And in verse 16, Jesus says he's directing this end times vision to the churches. Hey, that's us. We are the church. So this message is directed to us. And we know a good director wants to give his audience a sense like they're really there, where you feel like you're part of the movie. That's exactly what Jesus is doing in this book that he's having John write. He wants to make us feel like we're there because we're going to be there. Amen. We know that every good director has a history of the great movies that he's done. That's what gets us excited about those same movies from that director coming in the future. And so it is in our closing passage today. We have a history of the director that goes beyond time and space. So stay with this correlation with me this morning. Verse 16, Jesus says, I'm the root and the descendant of David. So this gives the director of Revelation the prestige of being the only one who could ever claim to be God and ruler of the universe, ruler of heaven and earth. By being the root of David, he's explaining that he's God, because David's root goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. And God created Adam and Eve. It was Jesus Christ himself that did that. And Jesus never had a beginning. He always was from eternity past. But he goes on and he explains that he's also the descendant of David. So we know that David has had a genetical line and beyond because Jesus came out of that genetical line and went forward. But he also was raised from the dead. And so that genetical line that rose from the dead is going to go, there is no end, throughout eternity. It's an incredible credential. So Jesus' claim here is that he's the director of the universe and in control of history past and in charge of future for eternity. In other words, he's God Almighty. It's the kind of director I want to deal with. He also says, verse 16, I'm the bright and morning star. You know, the morning star is the nickname that's given to the planet Venus. We know that Venus is the brightest star on the horizon in the east before the sun rises. If you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning sometime, you'll actually be able to see that. It literally lights up the whole sky. And just like the morning star announces that the sun is about ready to shine and warm the place up for a new day, Jesus is the morning star that announces his reign here on earth, where light is going to be on earth and reigning for 1,000 years. Peter talks about it in 2 Peter. He says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. So this is a beautiful illustration from Peter of what happens to everyone that receives Christ. You see the light for the first time because the Holy Spirit enlightens you with the thoughts of God, those thoughts that you could not have. And you did not have your whole life until one day, bam, you got it. You understood. Paul writes about it in Corinthians, where he says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am fully known. Right now we get a taste of Jesus Christ when we ask him to come into our life by faith. But there's coming a day when we're going to see him face to face, and it's all going to become perfectly clear. So this is God's light, and God's light is so important because without it, we can't enter the kingdom of God, and some people remain blind to this light their whole lives. And I promise you, before we leave today, you'll get an invitation to receive the light that we're talking about so you can have a chance to come in and actually have fellowship with God. So why is this End Times Vision? Why is this movie so important to us? So that we can see what the credentials of the director of Revelations is. And second, because it gives an invitation to the entire global community. Look at verse 17. He says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. So this message about Christ's return is so important that God, the Holy Spirit, has this incredible yearning for Jesus to come back. That's what we're talking about here. On the negative side, you see what's happened ever since this earth began is the Holy Spirit has been quenched by man, rejecting God, starting from Genesis. We know that things got so bad in Genesis when sin entered the world and death entered the world that by the time Noah was alive, that there was so much murder all over the entire earth. Everybody was killing family and friends and relatives. And God was really so upset by it that he said, I'm sorry I ever made him. Whoa. What a statement for God to say, who loves us so much. It had to really be bad. And so he says, what I'm going to do? I'm going to destroy the entire earth and everybody on it except for one family. We know that there was two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, and they were so evil with the gay lifestyle and murders going on that God rained down fire and literally brimstone. And we know it was man himself that put the Son of God to death on the cross. You see, all this stuff was grieving the Spirit. We know that in the short-term future, there's going to be a seven-year period where man is going to reject God to such a degree, they're going to lift up Satan in the form of the Antichrist to be their God, to rule the world, and it's going to grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it says here, is longing for Jesus to come back and take his rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the maker of all the universe, and for him to reign for 1,000 years in his kingdom. He's longing. The Holy Spirit is saying, come. But it's not just the Holy Spirit longing for his return. It's the body of Christ. Look, we've seen enough evil. Can I get an amen from somebody? We've had enough heartache. We've all had enough bad politics. We've had enough of pain and sickness and financial woes and all the things that this world offers up to us. We're longing for Jesus to fulfill his word because he's the one who said he's coming back to us and we're taking him at his word. In John 14, he said, look, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul talks about how it's going to happen. We talked about this last Sunday night. He says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we be with the Lord. And then in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes and says, what's going to happen to us? This corruptible must put on incorruption. In other words, we're not going to die. In an instant, we're going to be changed into a glorified body that can live forever. So when the corruptible is put on incorruption and the mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought about to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So the Holy Spirit is longing for his return. We're longing for his return. And verse 17 goes on, it says, and let the one who hears say, come. So the one who hears what? What is he talking about? The one who hears the gospel. In other words, we got a chant going here. Between the saints and the Holy Spirit today, begging the Lord to come back. And we're inviting everyone who hears that chant to join our song, to come understand the grace of God and the forgiveness of sin, and join the song that we're singing, asking God to come back for his saints. And it says in verse 17, and let the one who is thirsty come. You know what? Anybody that's longing to be with Jesus is going to get their wish fulfilled. The prophet Isaiah describes this desire for Jesus as something that's a free gift. And he starts off in Isaiah 55:1, and he says, ho. I thought that's kind of cool. Not hey, it's ho. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, isn't that awesome? Wow. Come and buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. You understand the illustration here that he's giving us. You're about ready to receive something free that's going to be the best thing that ever happened to you in your entire life. It's the free gift of eternal life. Matthew 5:6, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, so they shall be filled. So when you respond to receiving Christ by faith, you're going to be getting everything that you dreamed of and then some more. David wrote in Psalm 107, it says, for he satisfies the longing of the soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. How many of us, and I am counting myself here, how many of us thought when we bought that new truck or when we bought that new car, it was going to feel good forever? It felt good for about 6 months until somebody hit me. And you just realize that, you know what, that car, that truck, it's not really going to do it. The things of the world, they can't do it. So for all those that have this longing to be loved by Jesus Christ, remember, he's coming to meet us. John 4:14 says, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. You guys, handing your life over to Jesus Christ, surrendering your life to Jesus, it changes us from the inside out, and it never gets old. It never gets stale. I promise you that. In 1971, I received Jesus Christ when I was 21 years old. I hit 69 years old last May, and I've never been more excited about Jesus Christ. All those years have passed, and it's just given me a better mind of who Jesus is and just a thirst to be more like him. So let the one who wishes take water of life without cost, verse 17. The forgiveness of sins and experiencing God's love is free because it's all been paid for at the cross. And before we're through today, we're going to give everyone an opportunity, if you've never received Christ before, to give you a chance just simply to respond to Jesus so that you can be guaranteed eternal life. But beyond that, if anybody's here that maybe has just drifted, you know, drifting from the Lord can be a horrible thing. I talked to somebody a little bit earlier this morning, and we were comparing notes with people that we loved that had drifted. And there's nothing that breaks my heart more. Because as I watch people drift, all of a sudden, they're going through heartache. And the heartache that they're going through, I'm just telling you, it gets to me sometimes. I hate to see people hurt. I hate to see people make bad decisions. And all I'm telling you, if you haven't been walking with the Lord for a while, today you're going to get an opportunity to do a simple surrender to Jesus. And it's all going to change. It's like a good dad that has already given out the discipline for the day to the child. You know, some children need spankings. Other children just need to be told not to do it anymore, and they just stop. We're all our own individuals. But, you know, God is like a good father. When the discipline's over, he comes to us, and he picks us up, and he says, "You know what, Steve? Just wanted to let you know that all this stuff between you and me, it's completely over. It's completely over. Not only am I not going to hold anything against you, Steve, I love you so much. We're going to have so much fun together. We're going to experience some excitement that you haven't thought of yet. I've got some great and mighty things that haven't entered your mind yet, and just wait till we get there." So, why is this end times vision so important to us? Or is our illustration today, why is this movie so important to us? So that we could see the credentials of the director. Second, because it gives an invitation to the global community. But three, we're going to find out that this movie or this vision that God gave John has copyright laws. This was a vision given by God, and that's why it has the copyright laws. No one is allowed to change it by adding to it. Nobody is allowed to take away from it. Verse 18 says, this is Jesus speaking through John, "I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them," listen to this, "God will add to him the plagues which are written in the book." So Jesus gave the vision to John. So it's Jesus' vision. See, he owns every word of it. That's what I mean by a copyright law from God. 2 Peter tells us about this. He says, "For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." This is God's word. It's God's book. And there's no messing around with the words in the book. 2 Timothy 3:16 adds to that. Paul says, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Don't let anybody tell you that the word of God shouldn't be preached if it's convicting. No, we need to go back and say, what does the word say? I don't care what he or she says. I want to understand what the word of God says about this. It's profitable. In other words, you're going to do very well when you follow the word of God because you're going to be closer to God and His righteousness, and you're going to be equipped for everything with that word. So those churches who are adding to this book of Revelation, telling us that it really doesn't mean what it says, but it's just an illustration of the church age, are going to have to answer for what they're preaching. Or the Mormons who are telling us that there is no kingdom of Christ, but what's going to happen in the end is we're all going to get our own kingdoms on various planets in the universe. I swore somebody thought that went up over a can of beer, you know? And God has a message. He'll add to them the plagues that are written in this book, if that's where they're going. You know, God's a pretty serious God. Can I get an amen? Because I take that serious. Look, when I get up here and preach every week, I come up here with fear and trembling. I can tell you that my palms are still sweating today. I've been doing this for years. It doesn't matter. Because I know that I'm responsible for you. And I know if I mess up, I'm going to be judged double. That's what the Lord says. So I try to take it as seriously as I can. Verse 19 goes on, it says, if anyone takes away from the words of this book, this prophecy, then God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. Are you kidding? If you're a teacher and you start messing with the book of Revelation and taking stuff out, tells me you're not going to heaven. Yeah. I'm going to take away your part in the tree of life. That means you're not going to heaven. That's so serious. You're not going to see the holy city, which is written in the book. I don't think there's ever been a time where I have ever seen the book of Revelation attacked so vehemently by preachers out there in the church today. There are many churches preaching false doctrine out there, telling us that prophecy is not for today. If you want to see where it is, go get on Google and pull up some messages on prophecy. You're just going to be shocked with what's out there. Telling us that we shouldn't teach prophecy, and then they accuse us of saying, well, that's all we focus on. That's all we do is we just preach prophecy every day. It's so untrue. I know here at this church, what we do is preach through the whole Bible, you know, from start to finish, from Genesis to Revelation, but we don't chicken out when it comes to Revelation just because it's hard. Well, yeah, it is a hard book. So guess what, pastors? You got to go study and you got to pray for an understanding, and God will give it to you and your people will be blessed. It's the only book in the Bible that says when you read this one, you're going to get a blessing. They say that we need to stop teaching on prophecy because we're scaring the young people. Oh my gosh, what? This has to be a Wimposaurus. We're scaring the young people. Oh my gosh, is somebody going to defriend them on Facebook over this or what? You know, the young people need to be challenged, not placated. Look, the young people that I've talked to seriously about the Word of God and about prophecy, being fair-minded with the Word of God as it's written, respond to it. It's the pastors that are the problem people. They're, you know, really, the bottom line is they're afraid they're going to lose young people. And so they compromise the Word of God. Of all times to compromise, being in the end times that we're in right now, it's exactly what Satan wants to happen so that people won't hear this relevant message. They say that we shouldn't preach it because it's too hard to understand and it's too negative. That's interesting because, you know, the same situation happened in the Catholic Church in the Dark Ages. They told us that you can't understand the Word of God, so you're going to have to hear it from me, the priest. You don't have the right to go read that book yourself because you're not smart enough to understand it. Well, I'm here to tell you guys, you're all smart enough. Nobody is standing over you saying you can't read the Word of God, we're saying go to the Word of God so that Jesus Christ can get inside of you and change your life. I just think it was real convenient for someone who's twisting the Word of God and doesn't want to be challenged to be saying don't read it. But God's message to them is anyone who takes away from the Word of God is going to have their salvation taken away from them. Why is this end times vision so important to us? So that we can see the credentials of the director of the person that wrote it. And because it gives an invitation to the global community. It has eternal copyright laws. And finally, it's the closing scene. You know, when you get to the end of a movie, or you get to the end of a book, or you get to the end of a play, or more importantly, if you get to the end of somebody's life. I don't know how many of you have had deathbed experiences. I've had a lot of them in the last 20 years. And to me, they're the most precious time. There is no better time than that. And I have been accused of being morbid because of the words I'm sharing with you. But believe me, I'm not morbid. I just love those precious times when somebody's about ready to leave this world. They give their last words. They're absolutely precious. They're wonderful. Listen to what Jesus says. Verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I'm coming quickly. Oh, this is an incredible closing statement for the entire book of Revelation. I believe these last two verses are maybe the most important verses in the whole Bible because they're from the director of Revelation. It's the closing scene. It's the last word spoken by God in the Bible. That's how important they are. Jesus knows he has to sum it all up, and he has to motivate us to action. And we have to be ready. We have to be motivated. We got to get on the stick. We live in the last times here. And we have to move from the sitting mode to the action mode. And that's why he says in verse 20, yes, I'm coming quickly. The Apostle John is so taken by the last statement, he only has one thing to say because he's in complete agreement with Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. This is like the closing of a great movie or a vision, and he's made one thing clear. The next episode, and you know how movies end. When movies end and it's a series, it opens the door for the next movie. And it's interesting that's what Jesus has John do here. It's incredible. Because the next episode is when Jesus comes back for us, and the cry of Jesus Christ at the close of this book is, be ready, I'm on the way. Let's pray. We could have the worship team back up here. So we've come to these last words of Jesus on the most incredible book of prophecy in the whole Bible. It's all about getting ready. Now I know there may be some people here that maybe you've never received Jesus Christ, and all I can say is you don't have to wait anymore. You know God loves you so much. He wants to take you and maybe the mess that you're in, and he wants to pull you out of it. He wants to forgive you. He wants to show you the great things that he has planned for you. And I know maybe there's other people here today that you've been drifting from God. Don't know why or how or whatever, but it's been a long time since you've walked with the Lord. I just want to give you all an opportunity, no matter where your situation is today, just to be able to surrender to Jesus Christ. If you're here and you know you have the need this morning to surrender to Jesus, no matter what the circumstances, no matter who you came with, no matter what's going on, and you know God's speaking to you, you have that desire in your heart to surrender with every head bowed, every eye closed. You want to surrender to Jesus this morning. Would you just slip your hand up? That's you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Is there anyone else? We're going to wait because the Spirit of God's moving. Church, I want you to pray. Pray for everybody that's thinking about it right now. Is there one more person that truly wants to surrender your life? God bless you. I knew there was another. Are there any more? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this precious, precious time, Lord. Every time somebody returns to you, Lord, all heaven rejoices, God. And if you raised your hand this morning, or even if you didn't, and you still, you want to do that surrender this morning, I want you to pray with me right now and just pray these words. Dear Jesus, God, I just ask your forgiveness. I want you to come into my life. I need your power again, Lord. I need you to help me when I fall, Lord. It all happens so easily. And I just ask for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Give me the ability to not only walk with you, but to tell others about your love. And we just pray all these things in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.